is from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. Then it was time for their purification offering, as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. When Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee. There the child grew up, healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God for this word.
Light is breaking in. As we celebrate the promise of God fulfilled in Jesus, we hold onto God's promises for our lives too. I can remember that night, dark as it was, 16 years and 9 months ago. It was the first week of March of 2004, and I had just seen the film, The Passion of the Christ, a week earlier. I wasn't even Christian at the time, but I was in a real dark hole, an abyss that I had partly created because of my insistence of doing things my way. Several years earlier, I had left my Christian faith behind because of being burned by the church and by people in general. But there I was in the dark driveway of my former house in Highland Lakes, contemplating my life, its failures, and the dead end I seemed to be in at the time. But that is not all I contemplated. I was also contemplating what I had seen in Mel Gibson's film. It was haunting me, causing me to reflect on something I had learned as a child growing up in the church, but never fully understood, if it ever can fully be understood. Why would Jesus of Nazareth, a man who, by all accounts, was a good and innocent man, choose to die the death he did? He rode into Jerusalem knowing that it was a one-way ticket, that the only way out of the city for him was under the weight of a cross, his means of death. Why, if the Christian faith was right, would this man take my sins, my failings, my shortcomings on his shoulders? I reflected on the scene where, in the film, Mary sees Jesus falling while carrying the cross. And as she runs to be by his side, she flashes back to when her son was a child and he fell and got hurt. And just like then, she ran to him as the child. And as they were showing this flashback, you see both images of her, the younger Mary running to him as a child and the older Mary running to him as her child was falling under the weight of torture. The two scenes, the two moments juxtaposed with one another. I remember that night, that dark night, when I broke down in tears, when in the darkness, I called out to God, "If you are real, show me, and I will follow you." A couple of weeks later, I attended a church service with my mom at her childhood church. The sermon was entitled, "Coming Home," based off of the prodigal son. It was my first time in church in several years. And again, the title was Coming Home, based off of the prodigal son. Indeed, God had shown me that he heard me that dark and lonely night. That his promise had been fulfilled through Jesus Christ, and that it was time to live up to my promise to follow him. While all of us can more than likely recall times when promises were broken, there are also many times when they've been fulfilled. However, we often don't give the fact that promises were kept the same energy as we do to broken promises. Truthfully, we have much to be thankful for. We have been through many trying times. And we as a church have experienced the hurt that comes from broken vows. We have lived through other tough circumstances as well, such as a pandemic that blindsided us and left us clawing for hope. Yet, friends, has God abandoned us? Absolutely not. No, God has not abandoned us. Despite the hardships, Christ has miraculously been with us. He has shown us who we are when we stick together as the body of Christ, and who we can be when we place our faith in him. He has miraculously led us through this time. When people unexpectedly leave, as happens in all churches, he has risen up new leaders in their place. When in-person services were no longer possible, Christ gave us the ability to provide vibrant online services, to provide for online giving, which has drawn in new givers. And Christ has led us to fill missional needs within our community despite the pandemic. In fact, the pandemic just gave us more needs to fulfill. More needs to fill, more mission to carry out. Christmas is full of promises that are fulfilled. With the most important promise that God fulfilled by coming to us as Messiah, Jesus. By coming to us as Jesus Christ. God fulfills his promises. Simeon had lived an upright and holy life and was devoted to God. He longed to see the salvation and consolation of his people. Scripture says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God had promised him that he would not die before he saw the Messiah. Now, whenever that promise was made, I'm sure Simeon thought maybe it would be in 5, 10, 15 years. Did he imagine it would happen at the very end of his life? Probably not. Can you imagine the joy that overflowed from Simeon as he literally held this long-awaited promise in his arms? God had promised to bring salvation to the people, and that promise was fulfilled. Jesus' life was filled with divine purpose, which was revealed to Simeon, who recognized that this infant, Jesus, would bring the salvation of God to his people. However, Simeon also saw that this purpose would not be fulfilled without pain. Simeon reminds us in this moment that in living out our purpose and holy call in life, there is a burden that comes along with it. God gives us the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, but also reminds us that it does not mean that our days will be easy and always painless. This life with Christ comes as what often feels like both a privilege and a burden. Yet through the life of Jesus Christ, God has accomplished salvation for all and given each of us a place and a purpose. Friends, God has a plan. We see this not only in Simeon, but through Anna, who spoke of Christ to those who were looking for redemption, which showed that she had not lost hope. She believed that God had not only a purpose for Christ's life, but a divine plan for how Jesus would save us. And she gave thanks to God for this holy, holy plan. God has a promise, a purpose, and a plan for your life, for all of our lives. And God asks that you will trust Him to keep His promise to save you, to always be with you, and to guide you through this journey we call life. God has a purpose for you. You may not understand it, and you may be trying to figure out what it is. Sometimes it takes others around us to help to see it. But God has a divine purpose for your life. And with that purpose, God has a plan for us. Oftentimes, friends, oftentimes we lose hope, finding it hard to rejoice, to take solace in our faith in God. But God has plans, thoughts, and ways that are higher than our plans, thoughts, and ways. One of the greatest benefits of this life in Christ is that we are not alone. Amen? We are not alone. There is such a blessing in having faith in community with others. We are called to remind one another of the promises of God and the eternal hope in Christ. Now, I know there's some of you out there who may be saying, I don't need the church. I don't need other people to experience, believe, and love God. I can find God on a mountaintop somewhere. And I'm not saying you can't. Surely Jesus went alone and prayed on mountaintops to God. Ascetics have found God in lonely places, tucked away from the world. But what happens? What happens when something comes crashing down in your life and you're alone? What good is it if you're in the woods praying to God and a tree falls on you and no one there to know what happened and to help you? Friends, we were made to be in community with one another. That's why we have families. That's why we have friends and friendships. That's why we belong to different organizations and things that interest us. We're not creatures designed to be islands. We're divinely created human beings that were designed to be in community. One of the greatest benefits of this life in Christ is that we are not alone. There is such a blessing in having faith and community with others. We are called to remind one another of the promises of God and the eternal hope we have in Jesus Christ. We are called to share that hope, that joy, that faith with the world. And God is calling us to help one another to see that God has a purpose and a plan for each of our lives. As we face the dawning of a new year and reflect on this year that has passed, it may be hard to see that. Admittedly, I've had a hard time seeing that, given everything that is happening and that has happened. But how can we help one another hear God's voice? How can we help to remind someone of the hope we have in God? How can we help someone see that God has a purpose and a plan for their life, and that God promises to always be with them? Sisters and brothers, let us deck the halls with God's fulfilled promise. Let us deck the hall with God's promise fulfilled. The promise that God will never leave nor forsake us. The promise that God will never fail us. The promise that God is with us even to the end of the age. And that God, through Jesus Christ, has saved us and will one day wipe every tear from our eyes and establish an eternal kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, where there will be no more sin, no more suffering, no more pain, no more death. And let us share the hope through the talents and gifts God has given us with all the people we can. For this is our divine purpose. A promise we ought to fulfill. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this inspiring, uplifting, and challenging message. We thank you for reminding us whose we are and what you've created us to do. Give us the strength and the courage to be bold in our love of you and in our sharing of the gospel. Pray all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.